Tottenham 3, Arsenal 0 in the Premier League this morning in the North London Derby. Tonight, Magic Round starts with the Bulldogs up against the Knights, 6 o'clock on Fox League. The Dogs $1.70, the Knights $2.15 plus 2.5 at the line, and Manly are $1.62 favourites against the Broncos, $2.30. The Bronx plus 3.5 at the line with Tab. And Tom Trbojevic yesterday all but endorsed Katoni Staggs to play Origin. Turbo says that he's been exceptional and that there's some good candidates to replace Latrell Mitchell. But Staggs is close to, if not at the top of the list. Just a bit of love there from Turbo towards one of his opponents tonight. But it's going to be a good battle. And Selwyn Cobbo, Loz, we keep raving about him. But News Corp are saying that Manly is actually one of several clubs looking to poach the 19-year-old, and Billy Slater, the Queensland coach, says Cobbo is really standing out. Age isn't a concern to him. Wouldn't be shocked if he gets picked.
Oh, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me. He's raw.
Is he ready for that, for Origin, Loz?
Well, Xavier Coates,
he's going to make an error. You know he's going to make an error.
Yeah, that's okay.
But
though,
you know what? I don't think it's going to worry him. He's not a kid that'll go back into his shell.
Yeah, yeah.
So if he makes an error, which anyone can do on that stage, it's play on for him. So I'd give him a crack.
Are you also looking around him to see, is
what
there
experience?
Some senior players around him? Because then that makes that decision easier to take the risk on a youngster.
Well, you're going to have the two centres for Queensland will be Gagai and Valentine Holmes, in my mind.
Plenty of experience.
So plenty of experience. Then you throw in Xavier Coates from Melbourne.
Yep.
And Selwyn Cobbo. So what they've got, they've got an aerial threat, both sides of the field. They also have guys that can run like the wind.
Yeah.
So any half chance, they'll turn into a try. And that gives them strike. So you're way up.
Quite an aggressive selection, isn't it? I
think Billy will be like that.
Yeah, okay.
And I think game now is all about having a bit of a crack. Mm. Having a bit of a crack. Getting away from that structure. Going for the unpredictability of some players. He'll be if he stays injury-free, in my mind, there's no doubt that he's a 10-year Origin player.
Yeah, okay.
I think he's that good.
That good.
From what I see and how he performed in the Indigenous All-Stars at the start of the year. The thing that got me at the start of the year was it was a rainy night, compressed defence, and we struggled getting out of our own half. And most of the ball we got was coming out of our own half. Mm. Selwyn Cobbo just carried the ball so strong. Didn't make any line breaks at all. But he just and when you're doing that, you've got plenty of courage.
Yeah, okay.
And they were trying to whack him, and they did, but he continued to do it. Straight away, you just go tick.
Tick.
Because everything else, because you know we can catch balls, you know he can run 100 metres, you can know he can take
flash try. Yeah.
That's good, but you've got to have a bit of tick out to do the hard stuff.
Good
and
on
he's
him.
Got it.
Good on him.
Who'd we tip for this? I've tipped the Bronx. Did you stick with Manly or did you go
the Bronx? Mate, you're the only one on the planet that went the Bronx. You and Kevy Walters went the Bronx.
Manly and Morris.
The rest of us went Manly.
We are at Scone Race Club. If you're just tuning in, Darley Scone Cup Day today. And, we were talking to Steve Keane, the chief executive, earlier. And just on the text line here, morning lads, just heard the interview with Steve. No accommodation in Scone. Check the glamping tent at the entry today for next year's Scone Cup Carnival.
Now I've got a
glamping
plan.
Village. There'll be a glamping village. Scone Cup Carnival glamping village next year, says Russ.
Mate, we can sleep in the Sky Wagon.
Glamp.
The wagon's big enough for us three.
Yeah, but
we can get in there.
I roll around at night. That's my problem.
Okay, so you can have the double. If you roll around, you have the double.
Yeah, but in that van,
as long as you don't snore.
I can't be snoring. I start on my right.
That's okay.
So if I lie on my back, I snore.
Well, you're not on your back.
And by the way, snoring. No. Because if I lie on my back, I get kicked at home. But anyhow, I lie on my right.
I don't reckon that's the reason you get kicked, but anyway.
And then I roll to my left.
Oh, my God.
And then my arm gets sort of dead because I sleep on the side.
Can you just stay in your lane? Stay on your side.
Well, I just...
Can't see why your wife makes you sleep on your own
I don't know. That's how I sleep. That's my sleeping habit.
So how are you going to do it in the wagon? Surely one night you can stay on one side.
You don't want to sleep with me in the wagon because the wagon will rock and people will get...
dizzy.
No, people will think there's something going on in that wagon, and there's nothing going on in that wagon.
And I don't need that rumour on Daily Mail.
Yeah, exactly right. And I'm a roller.
Oh, okay. We're going to need glamping.
So you just sleep nice and still.
I'll sleep in a single chair. I will sleep anywhere. I'll sleep right here under this table. I don't need a pillow. I don't need a doona.
So you're a still sleeper.
Put me down and let me go. I'm out.
What are you?
Mate.
What are you?
I'm a coffin sleeper. Straight on the back.
Straight on the back.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, anyway, and a big snorer. I can see you sucking the curtains in.
If you're on your back, you're a snorer.
Yeah, sucking the curtains in, especially if he's had a few.
Do you know anyone that sleeps on their stomach?
Me.
How do people sleep on their stomach?
Me. I'm stomach and my arm under the pillow. So I'm sleeping on my arm.
That's uncomfortable for
ladies
me.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering Laurie Daly's sleeping positions, you're all over it this morning.
He's a roller.
I'm a roller. Here comes a roller.
Scone-based trainer Cameron Crockett is going to save us. Morning to you, Cameron. How are you, mate?
Can I ask you a question, Cameron?
Okay. What's your sleeping technique?
What is it?
Any way possible.
Yeah.
Every minute. Just get to sleep.
I do wake up with dead arms a lot and roll about. So.
Yeah, you're a roller. So he's a roller. We've got something in common.
I've always got a couple of kids in the bed too.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say something else, Cam.
No, my boys are always knocking me around, so they come in the middle of the night, so I don't really have any sleep patterns at the moment.
Oh, and getting up early too, mate.
Makes it harder.
It does make it hard. Yeah. It does make it hard.
Describe the atmosphere around town this week, mate. Have you got some long-lost friends who've wanted tickets and accommodation that have just come out of the woodwork?
I have, yeah. A couple of mates coming up from... one coming up from Newcastle, one from Coss Harbour. Mm. They're bringing their kids up and going to come out and do a bit of the fashions on the field for a bit today and see how long they last. Hopefully the weather can break up a little bit.
How's the stable travelling?
Yeah, really good. I think we're probably on the way, not quite to our best season yet, but we've still got a couple of months to go, so... we're going really well. Certainly been more competitive in races like the highways and better races than what we have been before. So that's been our aim for quite a while.
Cam, happy with conditions? Forecast looks pretty good. Looks like the rain's done, but even where the track's at, you happy?
For the horse in the first, I'm not 100% sure. He's first up off a break, 1300. Probably would have preferred it to be a touch more forgiving. He's lucky he's in the first race, so hopefully he gets the best surface, which he will. In the last, Mr. Hustle, the wetter the better. And then Morpheus, we scratched him from the Goori Cup on Sunday from a wide draw and a wet track, and now he's got a wider draw and a wetter track.
Do you like days like today, though, Cam, when you're taking on some of the biggest stables?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I'm in the Country Cup at the end of the day and the Country Only at the start, so I'm not so much in those open races. We didn't have really anything to compete with the bigger guys except Constant Flight tomorrow, but he raced in a takeover target last week. We're going to save him for a fortnight at Randwick. So I'm not taking on the bigger guys. But, yeah, a thing I've always noticed about Scone Cup, albeit that I've never really experienced it, I've only been here a couple of years and things have been a bit different, is the country trainers seem to be able to win the better races. I mean, the city horses have got to travel to us rather than us travel away, which is a massive help.
Yeah.
When you go to Sydney, for instance, when do you usually travel your horses?
No, we just go straight down.
Straight down.
Like on that expressway. When I was living in Mudgee, we used to have to go over the mountain, and it was the same time to get to Sydney, but you used to get horses off the truck down there, and I don't know whether it was the altitude, because we used to go right up over a massive mountain.
Yeah, okay.
Some of them would just be legless when they arrived. But from here, same time, but it's straight. Like the drive, there's no starting and stopping. If you get a good run, you might not even get any traffic lights until you get sort of into Randwick. And normally you're getting down there early, so you get through there pretty quick, particularly with the North Connects now. Just runs you straight through.
Yeah. How do you tell whether, I suppose, race day will tell you, but can you see a difference in the horse once you put him on the float, you're taking him down, you think, oh, geez, I don't know whether he's
always,
got a
Yeah,
you can.
You can always arrive and know when you get there where your confidence levels are at. But I always reckon it's a funny thing. It's a hard thing. If you're just not quite happy with a horse but you can't put your finger on it, you can't really go, and particularly when you're going to Sydney for a good race, you can't really turn around and go to the owners, oh, I just don't
think. Doesn't feel
think.
Right. Yeah.
And sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you take them there and they run well. So... But my experience coming from Scone is that my horses are much more consistent in town. I'd go from Mudgee, as I said, I had to go over the mountain, leave with confidence, get off the float with none, because you just knew they weren't quite what they were when you put them on. So I ended up with a system there where I travelled overnight, but then some horses don't like that either. But the beauty of here is straight out of their box, straight through to Sydney, and I don't think I've had a horse that's run bad down there that I could say it was anything to do with where we travelled from.
Travel,
that morning.
Yeah.
I have to ask you about Commando Hunt, who nearly gave you an amazing moment there in the country championships final, running second, was, I think, 31 into $9 on the day too, was heavily back, but in the spelling paddock, I guess the Kosciuszko is probably where you'd love to see it get to.
Yep. He'll come back and start back in next week. So we gave him 6 weeks. He always takes a couple of runs to come up. So his first couple of runs were good, but they weren't flattering. Then his third up run at Tamworth was huge. That took a bit out of him, and then we managed to produce him again a month later. We're probably lucky we had the month. Mm. I didn't think it was ideal at first, but it probably worked out good for us. Then he got the wet track, and he's really bottomed himself out. He gave us everything he had in the final that day, so we put him straight to the paddock. Would have been a beautiful race for him here today, the last, but, I mean, you can't go to the well too many times, and sort of when you get the horses, he's up to an 84 rater now, and he's only a class 3, so his highways are out for him because he'll get too much weight. I sort of spoke to Max Whitby, Dez and Brian Rudder and said, the only thing we can aim for is a Kosciuszko, set weights. Otherwise, we're running in open handicaps up here as a class 3 or we're out of highways because we're outweighted. But the tricky thing with him is going to be that we probably still need to do a little bit more to sort of present him to the public. And to do that, we're going to have to probably go to Saturday races. And whether or not they're just at the shorter trips trying to stay right for the 1,200, they may be too nippy for him. But, I mean, if he can't run well in that, he's probably not a Kosciuszko horse anyway. Mm. But that has to be our goal, followed up by a break and then one more crack at the country champs. And then after that, well, anyone's guess, he's got to step up again after that.
Mm. Okay, so your runners today, the three of them in the first indicative, you've said that you're just hopeful that it gets the best of the track, but Mr. Hustle seems like you're very, very keen on the last.
The thing with indicative was we bought him a couple of months ago and aimed him for this race. That was sort of the race we bought him for to kick off. And I said to the owners, he's only got to have one day where he misses a day, whether that be from a sniffle or a temperature or sore foot or something, and we don't have time. Like, the timeline that we had to get to here was, we couldn't have had any shorter. And to the horse's credit, the whole way through training, he's just gone forward and forward and forward to today. Probably ideally would have, he's been really sharp. I probably would have first up preferred a 1,200. But like I said, we've aimed for this for 3 months, so we weren't going to back out. And then I've been watching the rain come in thinking it's probably going to be a bit harder for him. They drew the one barrier, probably talked to Kerrin, get his thoughts, but the horse has got really good gate speed from what I've seen. I've never given him a start, but I've watched all these replays. I think he can lob right behind the speed, and from barrier one, he's drawn to do no work. So if we can hold him up as long as possible, have the last crack, well, if it doesn't come off, we'll just find something else for him in a couple of weeks. But I'm confident if he handles the track.
Yeah, you've got an experienced jockey on with Kerrin.
Yep.
As a rule, as a trainer, do you like to give instructions, or do you jockey?
Not really, because I think if the jockey's interested and genuine and wants to win the race, they've already usually got a plan.
Yeah.
So basically, Kerrin, I just come out and say, what do you reckon? And I think 9 times out of 10, your thoughts line up with the jockey, because they've done the form, they've looked at the race, they've assessed the horse and everything around them.
Yeah.
So I normally do that with Kerrin, but look, I'm not going
to
be...
Would a young apprentice say something like that? You'd tend to give a bit more information? Or?
Yeah, but it's hard for them to follow through. So of course you do, but I mean, it's a bit tricky. But like today, I'll just come out and say, what do you think? And I'd say probably Mac would probably have the same idea. If he didn't, I certainly wouldn't talk him out of what he wanted to do, but I'd just give him my thoughts and go from there. But I mean, once the machine opens, who knows what's going to happen?
Got to happen, yeah.
Like if he is to launch and land two in front, I'm certainly not going to expect him to drag him back. It's up to him once those barriers open. Mm. And Mr. Hustle in the last, the more rain, the better for him. Like, he loves it wet. He's just a swimmer. Really confident. And the more it rains, the more confident I'll be. Even from the low draw, he's had a couple of wide draws and sort of been able to win. But it'll be interesting to see by that time of the day whether we need to be in or out, because the track's probably going to have a bit of wear by then. But if he can just sort of... I'll probably think he'd be as handy as possible as well, just better than midfield and having the last crack as well.
$5 joint favourite, Mr. Hustle, in race 9, the last 8. Good luck, mate. Hope it's a successful day for you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Cheers.
Massive day for Australian rugby. Last night it was confirmed that we'll be hosting the 2027 Rugby World Cup and also the Women's World Cup in 2029. Berkey, morning to you, mate. To your old teammate Tim Horan, I saw him tweet, it's the most significant moment for Australian rugby since the World Cup win in 1991 put rugby on the map.
Yeah, you know, I'd agree with him there. And then, you know, it's a fantastic shot in the arm for rugby. You know, apart from playing on the field and having to get that sort, that part of it right, to be able to say, well, this is going to be the third time now, they co-hosted in 87 with New Zealand. But to have it here is absolutely fantastic. You know, apart from what it's going to bring from a rugby perspective, the injection for, you know, the country, you know, post-COVID, where we are, the people that are going to come down, it is huge. And, you know, I was having a look at all the sort of bits and pieces this morning and as the campaign's gone on, who's going to get that Rugby World Cup final? It has to be 60,000 seat stadium, and the only ones in Australia are Perth, Sydney and Melbourne. And so now there's some more fighting as to how it's going to pan out as to which stadium it's going to be. But incredibly thrilled, proud to have another, a Rugby World Cup in our backyard. And I just remember back to 2003, boys. It was enormous. You know, and we played that final. We didn't win, but you know, everyone rode the journey of the Wallabies to the final.
Berkey, they're talking about rugby here in this country when the World Cup is over, having an extra $100 million in their coffers. Where does that need to be spent? Because rugby has fallen behind some of the other codes, but with this injection of money, they can obviously now start to compete. But where do they spread it?
Well, they've got to be smart about it to start with, Loz. Certainly the women's game, remember that in 2029, they've also secured the rights for that World Cup for the women as well. So that's got to be a big focus too. We saw during the week that Australia played Fiji just gone and then Japan during the week, and they got dusted by Japan 12-10. So always increasing the ability for the girls to play the game, spread the love in that regard. So that's got to be an important focus. The other part of it has to be grassroots stuff. And again, you talk about Shoot Shield here in Sydney, then you talk about the Queensland club competition. That has to remain strong. And the biggest part about that is, and I'm not an advocate of just throwing money away for young kids, just because they've got some talent coming through. But you've got to earn your stripes. You know, and I always talk about an apprenticeship. And an apprenticeship means, you know, you start on a low wage and you work your way through. But if we can hook the kids in that regard in some way, shape or form, you know, brilliant. But certainly from the ground up, not from the top down. So that's got to be the big one.
Okay, some of these games, let's look at Super Rugby Pacific this weekend. The big one, no doubt, the Brumbies up against the Crusaders. The Brumbies absolutely flying, aren't they? But the tests don't get much bigger. Then they've got the Blues, don't they, after this?
Yeah. A couple of hard hitouts, absolutely. They are at home this week, so that's a big plus for them. And look, they're playing well. You know, that win against the Hurricanes last week, we know the Brumbies to kick for the corner and drive that line out over, but they're really throwing the ball around at the moment. Noel Oliseo, Nick White, you know, really controlling the back of the ruck and maul there and setting that attacking platform. And, you know, as apart from that, Oliseo re-signs, just recently. We've got Caden Neville re-signing. James Slipper's playing his 50th for the Brumbies. So there's plenty to play for down that neck of the woods. They are the best squad, I think, in Australia. That's easy, hands down. And they've got a really good bench as well to complement, those guys on the field. So when you've got that firepower, you can actually have a crack. You know, you can play against these Kiwi teams and have a really good go. The Kiwis, you're right, Mido. They are on song. They're flying. But what it's shown is the last couple of weeks that the Australian teams can compete, and certainly the Brumbies can compete. And I know that I think it's, what are the numbers, mate? It's about 280, is that what it is?
The Brumbies are $3.10. The Crusaders $1.38. This game tonight in Canberra.
I'm all over the Brumbies. Mm.
Mate, definitely take the plus 7.5 for sure.
Mate, don't be afraid to jump on the Brumbies. They've got some momentum at the moment. At home, they'll have a massive crowd there down at Laurie Daly Stadium, and it's going to be massive.
What about the Tars, mate? Can they beat the Hurricanes?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the next one, isn't it? You know, they're talking about fill the hill. That's the big slogan this week. They're playing at Leichhardt on Saturday night. I'm going to go out there and have a wander. And, they're starting...
You'll do a lap, won't you, Berkey?
I'll do
the lap around and just sort of wave and, g'day, boys, I'll be up.
And, you know, and the worst thing is I'll get pointed at saying, who's that old bloke?
that's the dude from Channel 10. That's Sandra's mate.
happens to the best of it.
So good.
But, you know, they're trying to, you know, back on that momentum. Hooper not around this week. He's got still that concussion protocol from last week. But Ned Hannigan comes back from his sabbatical, and so he strengthens the team coming on the bench. It's going to be a good outing. I know it's wet during the week, but it's supposed to be dry on Saturday against the Hurricanes outfit that were are a good number. But again, it's about shutting down, you know, their strengths, and their forward pack is their strength. And then outside of that, it's about, you know, scoring points and getting the crowd involved. And look, they've done a remarkable job, you know, from where they've come from to where they are now. You know, they're enjoying their football as well. Isaiah Parisi playing outstanding football at 13. And they're starting to believe, which is you know, half the battle.
Berkey, have to leave it there. Great day for Australian rugby, mate. Thanks so much.
Good on you, boys.
Tottenham 3, Arsenal 0 in the North London Derby this morning. We've got Robbie Slater coming up shortly just on the text line after earlier we heard Loz's sleep patterns. Morning, lads. Just wondering when we're going to get Loz's sleeping multi. Loz to roll 3 times a night, Mido to snore and Pup to wake up 2 times with a dead arm. All up, that's about $8.50. Love the show, Johnny the Korean Panther, sending that one through. Morning, gents. After listening to your 3 sleeping patterns, I'll need to get a good drinking session to get over hearing that, says Matt at Balgala.
What were we doing?
So, yeah. To hear Loz in detail and demonstrating what he does.
I can believe you're a still sleeper. You look like a still sleeper.
What do you mean a still sleeper? What's that mean?
Well, you just curl up and you don't move.
Yeah, but I'm on my stomach. I'm arm under, head on my arm, and but when I wake, I'm gone, mate. I'm not going back to sleep.
Yeah.
So if there's any snoring from Mido in the Winnebago, I'm in deep trouble because that'll wake me and then I'm cooked.
Yeah.
There's a couple of other texts here I can't read.
What's the one about Loz and I rocking? Or what's that one?
Yeah, we'll move on. Tonight, the first game of Magic Round is the Bulldogs up against the Knights. The Dogs $1.70 with Tab. The Knights $2.15. Now, there's been some talk, Loz, as well around, and I'm sure you'll scoff at this, Reece Walsh potentially challenging Kalen Ponga for the number one jersey for Queensland. But Billy Slater virtually ruled that out in some comments yesterday defending Ponga's performance this year. And the one thing we know with Kalen Ponga, even if his form's been a little indifferent at club level, his performances for Queensland have been top drawer.
Never seen him play a bad game for Queensland, Kalen Ponga. I know he's at probably, 3 or 4 games, but every game he's made an impact, and he will be the fullback for Queensland. If something happened to Kalen, Reece Walsh may get an opportunity. And Walsh is a fantastic player too, by the way. And he will play Origin at some stage.
Is he a 14 option for Queensland?
Yeah, possibly. But I would think Ben Hunt would be their 14.
Oh, of course. And he's been playing good.
Playing really good footy.
Silly question.
And
I agree.
Plays that half hooker sort of role.
Yep.
I think they'll go with Hunt.
Yeah.
But Reece Walsh, definitely. Could bring him on as a 14. A bit like Pappenhausen. I think, you know what? I think Reece Walsh should be that type of kid too, that the better company he plays with, the better he'd go. Mm-hmm. You know, when you just look at some players and you know they've got a lot of skill, and I'll say this respectfully, they play in a side that make mistakes, so they make the mistakes, the same mistakes as the teammates are making. But I think in that grade, he would lift, and I don't think you'd see the mistakes that you do see from him at the Warriors in an Origin game. I think he's that type of kid. The higher the grade, the better he'd go.
All right, now the Racing League. Deliver Australia's best ownership experience with their horses currently boasting a 31% winning strike rate. Emerging 2-year-old Luna Rocks, well, she bolted in last start in town. She'll be here at Scone where we are this morning, racing tomorrow in the Listed Woodlands Classic, the Scone standalone meeting, and you can still own your share of Luna Rocks. Just go to trl.net. You can buy into the New South Wales Tycoon 7 horse racing team for just $260. Own today and join the winners at trl.net. Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning, troops. What's happening in Scone?
Not much this morning. Last night we had a couple of glasses of red, beautiful feed, some good company. But this morning, chilled. Looks good.
Why did you get some good company? You got away from Gerard and Laurie?
No, I was right beside them the whole night.
Hey, why is it Scone and not Scone?
Oh, one of the great questions of life.
Why is it potato?
Tomato.
Why is it tomato? Fair question.
Is it a fair question?
Yep. And it's a question that's just got everyone buzzing.
Doesn't it?
You just hear the listeners. The listeners are just like, you know, what a question. The question of the day.
North London was buzzing this morning, though, Robbie.
Oh, mate, great scenes from their magnificent new stadium. I mean, I tell you what, some of the infrastructure they have in England now, the EPL, obviously the most watched, best competition in the world. But the stadiums are just incredible. And Tottenham, it was Tottenham's turn. A lot of feeling. Obviously, this is the biggest. There's lots of London derbies, and I know that, having played for West Ham, but this is the one with the most feeling and so much riding on this. It was quite simple. If Tottenham didn't beat Arsenal, they were no chance of claiming a Champions League spot. But when they did, Harry Kane, and it's not Harry Kane, it's Son Heung-min, they got the goals to beat Arsenal 3-0, which brings them now within 1 point of Arsenal, who looked pretty good after four straight wins. But now, all of a sudden, 1 point separating them, fifth and fourth. I mean, this is millions and millions and millions of pounds, dollars, whatever you want to say. So that's what it means, making the Champions League or going off to the Europa League. So Spurs now with a game in hand. And Gerrard, Spurs play at home to Burnley. And I fancy them to win that. Arsenal have got a very tricky trip away to Newcastle. There's only two games to go. I think Arsenal are going to slip up at Newcastle, and I think Tottenham will beat Burnley, and they'll be in that fourth Champions League spot. So, yeah, you saw the look on Mikel Arteta's face, the Arsenal manager, at the end of the game. He knew what position that loss had put Tottenham in.
The FA Cup final this weekend, Robbie, Liverpool up against Chelsea. I see Fabinho has a hamstring injury, but how do you expect it to play out?
Well, this is a replay, of course, of the League Cup final where Liverpool won on penalties. So you expect it to be tight. Liverpool have warmed up for this, of course, with a win over Aston Villa. And Chelsea this morning destroyed Norwich with Lukaku again on the score sheet. Look, I think Liverpool are on another level, Manchester City and Liverpool. And I think that will be proved again. And I think, yeah, Liverpool will win their second cup competition. They're obviously going to lose the title. I mean, Manchester City are just on fire. Last two games, 10 goals scored, one conceded. Kevin De Bruyne with one of the best performances of the entire season with four goals at Wolverhampton Wanderers. So the FA Cup final for me, Gerard, as I'm sure you will be thinking, will be a Liverpool win.
Let's hope so. Now, closer to home, and Sydney FC, their season much closer to Scone. Now, their season concluding, and they're going to undertake a review, but what changes do you think should be undertaken at that club? Is it time to refresh the squad, perhaps?
Well, Joe, I obviously didn't read my Sunday Telegraph column 2 weeks ago where I said that the Hulk, and stop giggling, where the whole squad, I said in that column, which was quite comprehensive, needed to be rebuilt. You know, they've got an ageing team, and some of these ageing players have had wonderful careers for Sydney. I mean, Sydney taking this season, which has been extremely difficult on all levels, Asian Champions League and the season. Obviously, they don't make the six. But, you know, the 5 years, maybe even longer, they've been the most successful team by a country mile in this country.
So look, are you sacking the coach, Robbie?
You can't sack the coach.
Surely not.
Gerard, give him a slap.
Yeah, we had someone message in or call in the other day saying Corrick has got to go. I mean, we're all like, what? He's had an amazing career.
Yeah, but this is. All right, I don't know. Some people just like that. Okay, lose a couple of games.
Yeah, sack the coach.
Sack the coach. In this case, you know, poor season. It's been a poor season for Sydney. There's nothing wrong in saying that, but wow. You know, the five seasons before, what was it, three championships?
Yeah,
exactly. An FA Cup. I mean, that buys you another year at the very least.
And at Steve least, Corrigan, I reckon.
Yeah, and Steve Corrigan will be there, as he should be, rebuilding this side as he needs to. And, you know, they need to get back to the drawing board. I mean, yeah, they had a lot of home games early on, and that's where their season fell apart. They had more home games than anyone else. With, you know, the start of the season was disrupted by COVID, which has made it difficult for all the teams. You know, they had 90 fixture changes during the season. And just on that, tomorrow I'm doing, I've done a one-on-one with Danny Townsend on the difficulties of this season, and that'll be in the Telegraph tomorrow, Saturday, and it's already out on Code, which is that the new app which is, follows the Telegraph. So it's a very interesting one-on-one. He's very honest and candid about the difficulties, not only of what the A-League has faced this season, which has been a failure, but also on what the hopes are and what changes next season when it kicks off. And he's got some big ideas moving forward and looking very positively at what they have and the deal they have done. So it's an interesting interview.
Robbie, we will leave it there. Thank you so much, and you go and enjoy your weekend.
Good on you, troops, and we'll chat Monday. Have a good weekend.
With the cooler weather arriving, get into Totally Workwear at Rydalmere for all your winter workwear gear. We stock the best brands like King G, Hardyacker, FXD and Steel Blue. Plus, check out the new Fuse Workwear by King G. Does your business workwear branding need a freshen up? Darren and the team will get you started. Open until 7 p.m. every weekday. Totally Workwear, Rydalmere, 279 Victoria Road, opposite Bunnings and McDonald's. Your winter workwear one-stop shop. As we welcome in Dave Stanley and Luke Marlowe. Morning, fellas.
Morning, man.
Morning, Lozza. Morning, boys. How are we?
Thanks for being excited.
we are.
Oh, get away.
Jeez. What about Flutter's attack?
Okay there, Stan, boys, no, Stanley's been... He's just missed the kick a little bit this morning. He's had a shocker.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you were ironing the pants. He was ironing the pants this morning. He said, right, we'll leave at 10 to 8. Next minute he's had a water explosion all over the pants. The iron.
Oh,
the
no,
iron.
DS.
What's happened, DS? What's happened? He's
well,
what colour trow is it?
Boys.
What's the colour of the trouser?
No, they're a cream tenor, but I'll tell you what, boys. It started this morning at about 20 past 4. Ooh. Now, pup,
did you hear my car?
I love you, mate.
I'm sorry.
I love
sorry.
You.
I knew. But I knew got... it was going to be here.
It's loud. Sorry. It is loud,
you're
isn't
driving.
It?
Sorry. I'm sorry. Mate, I tried to turn it down.
Mate. It's a six-figure car. You don't need to rev it. They got machines in it.
No, I didn't rev it.
On the gravel.
Listen, the other thing, I knew this was going to happen. I'm sorry. And I didn't. I actually, when I started it, I took off straight away. Like, normally I'll start it and wait 2 minutes.
You certainly did take off straight away.
I tried to get out of there to not wake anyone.
You don't need to warm it up.
Sorry, buddy. I didn't warm it up. Sorry, mate. I didn't
mean
it. I didn't mean it.
It's the grouse.
Oh,
anyway,
it is loud.
No, that was so it started.
Hey, Dave, boys,
it's
Friday the 13th. We haven't released where we're staying, all right? But Clarkie did release this morning what room number he was in.
Yeah, room four.
At the Isis Motel.
Oh, Middo.
No, it's Liam Kell, who look after
Isis.
Us.
Yes.
They're getting a
plaque. Well, I'm not in room four tonight, then.
Room four, Isis Motel, Scone,
actually.
Michael Clark.
Don't, no, you're going to knock on that door, honestly, and someone else will be in there tonight. I'm not
I'll
in room four
tell you something about
tonight.
The Isis, boys. Staying at the Isis is like, it's like staying with family. Like this morning, I obviously, the iron had the pant issue. I rang Kel and Glenn. I said, I've had a problem with the iron. Bang, straight over it, grouse iron comes.
Is
I know
it true
the boys.
You asked Kel to actually iron it for
I was going to say, did you ask
the boys
to iron it?
Benny Whedon got stuck into the pizza. They do good pizzas there. Now, they've supported Sky and also the Scone Cup. They love a punt. Obviously, when we got to our rooms, boys, you know, they give their tips. They're good people. So,
legends.
And by the way, one of the.
You can't knock them at all. But yeah, knock on Clarkie's.
No, room four. My room's great, too, I've got to tell you.
Clarkie, Kel's tip, by the way, is Dr. Drill in the cup today. Best bet, and it has been well back this morning. It's now $5 joint favourite for the cup with Rustic Steel. What's going on here?
Okay. I knew. When I got up this morning, because I woke quite early, I woke at about 3:30, and I stayed in my room because I didn't want to start my car because I was petrified
all that noise
this was going
to
happen.
Quarter to
I was
going to
wake everyone. So when I left at 4:15, I swear I tried to drive out so fast because I thought. Yeah. No, I'm going to get abused.
You may as well go the other way. You may as well just go.
Make a noise. How loud is it? Like, you can hear the shower next door, let alone the car.
Oh, mate, you can hear every noise.
You can hear your TV.
It's called the country.
Mate, but it was so quiet. I was like, one, two, three, go, get out.
So you've magnified an error, though, Clarkie. You've made the noise, and then you're just like, well, I've come this far. I may as well rip out of here with a burnout.
No, I didn't try and drive. Yeah. Right. Anyway, I've woken everyone.
You said how was the Calcutta, like? How was the Calcutta, boys?
How was the Calcutta, Lukey?
Well, DS didn't lob.
No, I wasn't there. I wasn't at the Calcutta last night. Well, I was with you, Loza. We had to do that function.
You were with me. I thought you might have continued.
I was sitting beside you, Loz.
Yeah.
No. I was actually really, really responsible. I really want to rip in today. And I'm learning as I get older that just save it for one run. Well, I've got two runs, really, the next 2 days.
Well,
but
tell you
I've
what,
got to give him
a
fine
rap.
Form and feeling fresh.
Mm. He gave us a winner at Pakenham last night.
DS did?
Yeah.
Did he?
Got a late text. Yeah, got a late text came through.
Shared it.
So we got something out of Pakenham last night. We got, because you just launched, pup. Please.
How's the bank going that you've been building? How's that going?
Hey. It's going good. It's going good. I'm going to be doing those ads with sheep soon, and Aussie will save you. That's how good I'm going. Hey, boys, this punters panel today, we're going to try and get the multi. Last week, unfortunately, and that's the beauty of the punters panel, we're accountable. Anthony Manton last week was our one leg that failed. And to his credit, straight on the text. No.
Solid.
Straight on the text and said, boys, I've let you down. Well, I'll lift.
There's a big difference in blokes like
Well, if you're solid, you'll get him back this week. Have you got him back on the panel this week?
No. I think he's having a week off because of he had the big Wagga Carnival. But this week we've got Luke Marlow, Dean Watling, Mick Gannon, and Chris Roots is going to be joining us.
What did I do when I let the side down with the multi?
You copped plenty of abuse.
I just went to ground, boys.
And took it on the chin.
I wasn't putting the text out. Sorry, boys. No, but I just went to ground.
We're going
to
have
Sign of weakness. Sign of weakness, boys.
We're going to have a four-leg top four multi. Four-leg top four multi, all about scone today, and that's what the punters panel is going to be about. So Friday, scone, and then tomorrow morning, Racing HQ with Richard Haynes will be focusing all on Saturday, scone. Obviously, we've got a bit of moisture around scone at the moment. Really interested to see how this track plays, and then also plays tomorrow. Forecast tomorrow, they're tipping sunny in 27, 28 here in scone. So nice and warm in this part of the world. And the forecast this afternoon, they're actually saying a little bit of sun to poke through. So it's not really raining, boys. It's sort of, how would you describe it?
Spitting.
Like
it's nuisance.
Spitting and foggy. And I think a few of those jocks are flying in today as well. They get a bit nervous on the little plane, the jocks. Isn't it amazing? They get on these 600-kilo animals and take little gaps, but put them in a little Cessna, and they start sweating and getting nervous. So they'll be flying in a bit later on. Massive day. The marquee will be pumping. General admission is flying as well, and we've got our quiz a little bit later. So, boys, get ready. Rip in. You feeling fresh, the three of you?
Ready to go.
Rock, buddy.
Absolutely.
Outstanding.
Don't forget the pony race, dear.
Oh, and the pony race. Marlo's calling the pony race today at 10:45.
He's come away, Marlo.
So that's been a... Yeah, mate.
He's come a long way, mate.
He's calling the pony
Jeez,
race.
That's a downgrade.
We might even take that line.
The ponies, eh?
How
is that a regular thing now for you? Are you doing the circuit, country circuit, calling the pony?
Yeah, I reckon there's momentum there. Actually, Loz, I was with him when he got the phone call about doing it, and he's too nice for a bloke. He's sort of, mate, you know what? I'd love to be involved. I'd love to be involved. And you could just see afterwards, he hung up the phone. I said, what was that? Oh, they want me to do the, you know when someone's talking to you and they go, oh, I want me to do the pony race. I said, what? They want you to do the what? Oh, the pony race. It's a pony race? What are you talking about? And he just didn't want to talk. But look, it's a great initiative, actually. From Lindy and the team and young people getting involved. The kids, they love
it. Don't get it wrong.
The next generation.
Don't get it wrong. Imagine that.
Wrong horse.
I've done that before.
Have a good scone cup day, boys.